In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Yeah, we're like, Sprouts to come? What do I say? No, it's like, just don't break out into, you know, old lang syne or anything like that, right? It's good to see everybody today. I love the passage we talked about, we read in the Gospel today, Matthew, where the disciples couldn't cast out a demon, and the Lord says, this demon can't come out except by prayer and fasting. So what does that tell us by implication? The disciples weren't praying and fasting because they couldn't cast it out, right? So that's a lesson for all of us, especially as we start a new year. But let's stop for a moment and kind of reflect on some of the tragedies that we face in today's world. Perhaps one of the most tragic things in the world today is the understanding of how the world understands who God is. And I'm sure we all have different experiences, but I can share with you, you know, my experience growing up. We have this idea that God is an angry God, right? He's wrathful. He's kind of up there just waiting for you to make a mistake, and he's going to pounce out and beat you over the head. We even have a book, In the Hand of an Angry God, right? He's the great judge, the great, the most intolerant dad, the worst dad you could ever ask for, right? Not very loving. And of course, so with this idea of God being this wrathful, vengeful, angry, intolerant God, if they're constantly rolling his eyes at us, comes this idea that, if that's who God is, then forget him, right? I'm just going to go, you know, it's better to rule in hell than serve in heaven with this guy, right? And we paint this picture that, you know, being bad is good, you know, being good is bad. It's boring. It's losers go to church, you know, type stuff. But this is a massive distortion of who God is. Massive distortion. This, in fact, is probably one of the greatest forms of projection that we might ever see in the spiritual realm. Satan trying to portray God as Satan actually is. Satan's the tyrant. We talked about that in the catechumen class, Exploring Orthodoxy, how the demons don't care what you want. They want to make you do stuff. And we all know that, right? In our lives. You know, Paul says so, that which I want to do, I don't do, and that which I don't want to do, I end up doing. Because the demons don't care. You don't want to do it, but they're like, hey, forget you. I'm going to go and make, you know, finagle you and lie to you and pressure you. It's God who gives us the freedom. It's God who gives us liberty. We know that in humanity has been held by the delusion of idolatry. Idolatry, my friends, is anything in your life. It's not just that little statue of Zeus you keep in your corner, right? Idolatry is any time you trust anything other than God to save you and give you life. That includes money or friends or your education or the economy. I always laugh when they talk about the economy on TV. It's like a big E economy. We got to help the economy. We got to serve the economy. Well, maybe. Now, if they erect a statue and, you know, we all have to bow down before a statue of the economy, then I'm going to be in trouble because I want to do it. So along with this delusion of the lies that we're told about God, we have these ideas about the world, that things are our God, that they will save us, that God is just this burden. He's just a thing we have to do. We have to go to church. We have to say our prayers. But Christ comes to us. And not only does he break down this delusion of idolatry, this worshiping of false gods, not just Poseidon and Aphrodite, but the economy and prosperity and health and all these things we think will save us. Christ comes to us and reveals to us who the Father is. He came to reveal the truth and to shine light on the lies that evil had told us. We were tricked by evil, and he came to free us. We hear in the gospel today who God is. That was a passage from Luke where Christ sat down and read from the book of Isaiah. Christ revealed that God is a loving God. Christ reads the words of the prophet Isaiah that God, through his Christ, brings the good news to the poor to heal the brokenhearted. Who here hasn't been brokenhearted at some point in their life? Yeah? Pretty much everybody. He comes to heal the brokenhearted, to free those in the bondage of sin and death, to reveal the truth to those in blindness. So every time you see in the Gospels where he's healing a blind person, that's us. We're blind. We don't see. So he comes to reveal things to us, to cure our blindness, and to free those who are in the burden of sin. You know, I've often thought about that saying, you know, we're in the hands of an angry God. And I thought, well, sure, I mean, my sinful self kind of likes that idea, because if God's an angry God, then I have every right being angry back at him, right? You know, well, if you're being mean to me, well, you know, forget you, Crom, or whatever. You know? And but we are faced with a far more, in a way, terrifying reality, and that is we are in the hands of a loving God. He has come to save us. He has come to heal our broken hearts. He has come to give us sight, to restore life to us, to free us from death. And that's terrifying for some of us, for me, I will say, because if God loves you, the only proper response to love is what? Love. That means I have to love him back. And I will say this about love, my friends, that it's not that thing that the tie-dye shirt people have, right? That's not love. It is a complete outpouring of oneself for the benefit of someone else. And I'll say, if you want to see a perfect icon of love, that's the cross. That is love. Dying for all humanity. We read John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave. His loving was an act of giving for the sake of the world, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And I will say to everyone here today that if a person were to experience one tiny bit of the love of God, the entire world, all the legions of demons could not pry them from church. Because once you taste that love, you say, "This, there's nothing else that compares to this. This is everything." We come here to this church today to be free, not to be slaves of God. We don't come here to be slaves in heaven. He invites us to come and rule with him. I don't know if you know that about the gospel. He calls us friends, you know. He wants us to rule with him in his kingdom. We were slaves of sin under the tyranny of evil and death and idolatry, but he comes to save us, to heal the brokenhearted, to set free those who are in binds, who are in prison, and to give sight to the blind. We were slaves of sin, but we are now free in Jesus Christ our Lord. We are free to live, free to love, and free above all to be a true, authentic human being. Christ offers us this. You know, we're raised in a country where we talk about freedom a lot. You know, we have the Declaration of Independence, we have, you know, the Constitution, all this, and the idea is that freedom is the freedom to choose any type of candy bar at the 7-Eleven you want. But that's not freedom. That's the burden of choice. True freedom is to be able to choose to follow God. That is true freedom. The true freedom that we are offered is a freedom to do good, to live good lives. Who here doesn't want to live a good life? I think all of us do. I mean, you're all here today, so I would assume you do, you know? And that's what he offers us. So as we get ready to start a new year, let's do a New Year's resolution. Let us commit ourselves to live our lives in Christ. Be willing to trade the entire world for him. Because someday, everything that you have clinging to today, no matter what it is, it'll be gone. But only Christ will remain. So we choose today, as we prepare for the new year, to trade what is passing for what is eternal. To trade that which is dying for that which is forever. To trade death for life, to trade emptiness for love. And you notice I didn't say hatred is the opposite of love. Emptiness is the opposite of love. Because when we feel his love, we are full. We are full of life. We are full of joy. We are full of peace. And I will end with this, my friends. There is a temptation in the Orthodox faith to walk around thinking that the more miserable you are, the more holy you are. I don't know if you've seen that, but I've definitely seen that. You know, oh, I'm so miserable. I'm such a sinner, you know. But God offers us joy today. He offers us joy. We celebrate the divine liturgy. This is a celebration today in this temple. It is a joyous occasion. That's why, you know, even during Lent, you know, the fasting's a little bit lighter on Sunday because it's a joyous day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. for he has opened the doors of heaven to us that we might choose good. So now the hard part. Choose good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.